so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and very happy Wednesday to you. Well, here's a question for you. What makes you smile? I want you to really think about that. When was the last time you smiled, and what makes you smile? Is it the thought of time with your family? A beautiful sunset, a great book, maybe the thought of the Father's love for you. Well, today is my guest. She's also my very precious friend, Audrey Meisner. And she joins me to share 40 devotions for a hope-filled life from her book, Wake Up Smiling. This is such a, and I want to tell you this, there's no fluff about this book. It's deep, rich in content. And it's just, it's like picture Jesus just tilting your chin upward. Every single reading does that for you. And it's so good for us. And she'll even make the case for why smiling matters. We have got five copies, thanks to her generous publisher. And I love you to email to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. As soon as you hear Audrey, you're going to want a copy of this book. Wish I had one for everyone. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And you spell Susie, S-U-S-I-E. Don't forget your mailing address. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Audrey Meisner is a best-selling author, speaker, relationship specialist, and founder of Love Married Life. Together, Audrey and her husband Bob specialize in helping marriages build and maintain phenomenal love, and I can attest to that. That's absolutely true. They have four children. They live in Phoenix, Arizona, and I love this girl. Audrey, welcome back to the program.
My favorite part, because I love you too. Oh my goodness, Susie. It's such an honor to have this time with you and your listeners, because I know your listeners are the ones that really want to know the Father and hear his voice. So what a great time we get to have together.
Well, you know my listeners, that is absolutely true, Audrey. If there's one thing about them that's just a common denominator, whether young or old, seasoned in the faith or brand new to the faith, they're all very serious about their walk with God. So
yes. This
is a perfect fit today. So Audrey,
yes. Yay,
I know, I'm so excited. Before we get into the content of your book, tell us, if you would, if you've got a verse that you've just been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
I have memorized this one from Psalm 90 in the last few weeks. It's one that says, teach me to make the most of my time so that I can grow in wisdom. And then it goes on to say, satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love so I can sing for joy to the end of my life. And give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. What? Like, seriously, give me gladness in proportion to my former misery. Replace the evil years with good, and let us see your miracles again, and let my children see your glory at work. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Why not? Like, our efforts successful. Why not?
I've prayed portions of that passage over and over again, but to hear you read it in its entirety, it is power-packed. Wow.
It is, and it's God's heart for all of us and our listeners. And so, yeah, thanks for this honor, Susie. You are one of my extremely close friends, and what you do for the kingdom and for the listeners is literally saturated in love. I just read your daily blessings, and I just love you.
Well, the feeling's mutual. And, you know, it's been a few years since you joined us on the show with your dear husband, Bob. And Audrey, for the sake of those who missed that conversation, and even for those who heard it and just don't recall the story, would you do us the honor of sharing that story with us today, just to provide a context of where you're coming from? Because I want to make sure people know this isn't a fluffy conversation about just smile. This goes much, much deeper than we can possibly know. And you'll know that when you hear Audrey's story. So if you don't mind, share it with us.
Yes, for sure. About 17 years into our marriage, my husband and I were pastoring a church living in Canada. I grew up in a family that was really a Holy Spirit family. I thought I was immune from having one of those kind of testimonies. You know what I mean? And we had pioneered a church. I've got my dreamy husband. But what happened was the responsibility of an overwhelmed feeling of pastoring that church and pioneering was quite overwhelming. But I was that person that always smiled. So I smiled my way through it, but I actually started to fake my way through it. But I was so determined to push through, and I buried all the loneliness and the disappointment and, you know, really the sheer exhaustion. And then my escape was laughter. And so my desperation led me to search out a friend who had nothing to do with responsibility. And when I laughed with this guy, it was like I could just kind of escape. And because he was younger, I thought, oh, nothing would ever happen. Like, I can break all the rules about not being with the opposite sex, because I would never do something like that. And I'm sure the listener can already hear where this story is going, because I felt like I was in control and that I didn't need God. And whenever that happens, we are in danger zone. And my desperate people do really shocking things. And then that friendship grew into a sexual relationship. And I rationalized all those emails and all those things. And I was desperate and in very silent pain. And I know that a lot of people can relate to this. But the pain of that adultery and that path led to so much confusion and secrets and shame. After 3 weeks, I couldn't live another day, so I ended that relationship. And just a couple days later, I confessed it to my husband, Bob. He was shocked, stunned. And we were both broken. We reached out for help. We had no idea what to do next. And, you know, when we cry out to God, even on our worst day, he reaches us there. And our pain was really intense. It was very different. But you know what? The Lord met us there. It was not an easy road, but the plot thickened when I learned I was pregnant as a result of the affair, and the baby is biracial, would not look like the rest of the family. And that's when the enemy really whispered into my fragile heart, you're going to be known for the rest of your life for the most stupid and selfish thing you've ever done. And your kids are going to be messed up, and you're disqualified. You never deserve to laugh and enjoy life again. And I called an abortion clinic, found out I could just take pills that would take away my problem. And I fell to my knees, and I said, God, I can't abort this baby. But I actually remember saying, Father, if you love me, you will take this from me. And I literally begged God for a miscarriage. And even now I get emotional when I talk about this, because out of God's love for me, he did not answer that prayer. But instead, he met me in my pain, and he healed my broken heart. And he said, we can't get evacuated out of this circumstance, but I'm going to come to you exactly where we are, and we're going to walk through. Whew. So anyway, during that pregnancy, you know, God really helped Bob and I through, and God helped me. I just prayed, God, I want to hate sin. If only I could turn back the clock. I would never do this and cause all this pain to my husband and my kids and myself. And, you know, I can't get into this particular show isn't about this story. But when I think of how God met us during that pregnancy in the most desperate times, I would love everyone else to, maybe they can hear your past program or something and hear my husband Bob's side. But when our baby was born, Bob looked into my eyes and he says, Audrey, I want to name this baby. And I want to name this baby boy Robert, because that's my name. And I don't want him to ever wonder whose boy he is. This is my son. And his middle name is Theodore, which means divine gift. And this baby's not an accident, not a mistake. My husband said to me, he's born out of the heart of God and given to us as a gift. We're together. We're going to be a family. So anyway, he's about to come home from school. He's a freshman. So that was like almost 16 years ago. And I look at what God's grace can do when we just are broken before him and surrender to his very best. And he can redeem the most broken and awful situations. And even if our listeners have had that abortion or had to go through the painful trial of a divorce, I know that our Redeemer lives. And Jesus is so faithful. And when we're in the most pain, he loves us there. I mean, Susie, you and I have had many conversations about this. Jesus loves us in our brokenness and our desperation. And we feel even closer to him as we go through. And so, yeah, that's basically the reason why we're so passionate about helping marriages and couples and to get the tools they need to really get rescued. So that's pretty much it.
And I know that's not an easy story to tell, but I wanted people to know that you are no stranger to even the enemy's condemnation, his taunts, his accusations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a story you tell in Wake Up Smiling. And I know this because I know your story, but our friends need to hear this because this is a sticking point where so many get stuck and don't move past it. But you were at your parents' one night and they had company and you decided to ask for prayer. And this was a breaking point where you started to realize joy was possible again. And the unique and interesting thing about it, I'd forgotten about it until I read it in Wake Up Smiling, is that this particular guest did some muscle testing on you. We have a doctor, he's coming in tomorrow. He comes in once a month. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And we talk about the whole effect in mind, body, spirit to what goes on in our bodies. So this was especially intriguing to me as I read it again for the first time, so to speak. So tell that story when you started to see a breakthrough was possible for you.
Yes, and it was a journey. It wasn't immediately after the baby was born. I mean, every day is a journey. We all know that. But this was a couple years later, and it was just about 6 months prior that I had finally surrendered. And we're going to talk a lot about that when we talk about the book, Wake Up Smiling, because there's a big correlation but what it really feels and looks like to surrender. But it was 6 months before that I just wanted Bob to get better. I wasn't, you know, like, please, God, heal him from his depression. It's all my fault. And living with a depressed man has got to be the hardest way to wake up smiling, you know. So I had finally, after 6 months, realized that changing Bob was not my job. And when I came to that deep realization that I could actually trust my Father in heaven with my husband, it was then that he downloaded this strategy that said, Audrey, now you can trust me with Bob. Don't even spend hours praying for him anymore. Just trust me with him because I want to heal your broken heart. And that led me to this night that you're talking about, Susie, when we were together and what happened was they muscle tested me because emotions are carried within the organs of our body. And as I was carried, they quickly muscle tested me to find out that I was carrying acute grief within my lungs, and didn't even know it because, you know, my personality is happy and I'm enthusiastic and optimistic. So sometimes our deep-seated hurt and toxic emotions are almost hidden by that personality. But it was locked. Those emotions were locked inside of me. And he said, hey, do you want to get free of that? And I said, yeah. And he checked my belief system. And this is also very key because we don't live the life we want. We live the life we believe we deserve. And so the beliefs of our heart is what really guides our entire lives and the outcomes of what we're experiencing right now. So the life that our listener is living right now is a natural byproduct of what they're believing in their heart. So if that's true, and which it is, I really want to know what I'm believing in my heart, not just in my head or having knowledge of, but I want to believe in my heart. Well, I believed that I did not deserve to forgive myself. They quickly found this quote-unquote lie that I was living from. And they said, listen, if Jesus is going to set you free, you have to believe the fact that because Jesus lives inside of your heart, you don't get what you deserve. You get what he deserves. Whoa. Okay, that's a lot. When I'm in ministry and I've committed adultery and I have this baby that doesn't look like the other kids, and I walk into malls and I'm a public person, I feel the shame, you know, like darts just killing me every time I go somewhere public. But that shame was like a garment that I was wearing that was attracting the judgment. But that night, he said, do you want to be free? And whenever someone asks you that, just say yes. Mm. And actually, Susie and I are asking you that today.
Yeah.
Do you want to be free? Just say yes, because I'll tell you, you're not listening by accident. Because when he said that and I said yes, he says, now I want you to go to that place and remember the most grievous things, and I did, and it was then that I felt like prison doors opened, and I walked into a spacious place where I saw myself the way he sees me. And when I say he sees me, I didn't see an actual picture, but in my heart, you start to see a picture, a feeling, a thought, a concept that God puts in your heart. And I saw myself clothed in a white, glistening, pure robe of righteousness. And Jesus said, will you see yourself the way I see me? And I want you to hear the smile on his face. Because he didn't just ask me. He asked me with a smile. He says, Audrey, do you want to see yourself the way I see you? And when I said yes, that cloak of shame was gone in a moment. And I was robed in this completely beautiful wedding dress, so pure, glistening, sparkling. And then it was at that moment that I knew that no longer will my life be the same, because I'm going to live my life out of Jesus' eyes, not my own.
So the question for you today is, do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? Talking to Audrey Meisner, we've got 5 copies of her book, Wake Up Smiling. I'm telling you, she writes like she speaks. This is what this book is like. I would love to get a copy in your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute.
It's love.
for tuning in. Today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my very dear, precious friend. Can you tell I love her? Audrey Meisner. She's been on the show before. Today, we're celebrating her new book, Wake Up Smiling, 40 Devotions for a Hope-Filled Life. And if you just tuned in, I just need to tell you, got to go back and hear the open, because she set up the story of where she's been, what God has done. This is not a lighthearted, shallow message. It's just deep and profound. Amidst hardship, amidst pain, amidst enemy accusation, we literally can wake up smiling. We can learn to enjoy the joy of the Lord. We've got 5 copies of Audrey's amazing book. Email if you want in on the drawing. Do remember your mailing address, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Okay, my friend, so you've researched the science of smiling. Of course you did. Tell us what you learned.
Why not?
Exactly.
Right? Why not find out the benefits of this thing that God invented? Like, sometimes we forget, hey, God invented this whole thing called smiling, and there's a reason, because, you know, all the muscles in our whole, the muscles that are used in smiling actually affect every part of our being, and most importantly, they affect our brain waves to start to release those great chemicals that bring pain, natural painkillers to us, all kinds of joy-filled hormones that we need to counteract the other ones, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. So here's a challenge, friends, yes, listening today. I challenge you to go through the rest of the hour listening to Audrey and smile the whole time and just see what happens. So this was so interesting, because you said that happy people all have something in common, and contrary to popular belief, it's not that they're all rich and successful. So what's the common denominator?
Did you get the skinny part?
The skinny, yes, exactly. So what's the common denominator?
The common denominator of every happy person is peace. Hmm. Peace with God, peace with others, peace with yourself, and peace with your past and your story. And here's another good one, peace with the season that you're in right now. So when we have this incredible peace that's real, there's just all of a sudden it's like you're the structure, you're set up for the joy of the Lord to run through you. Because when we don't have the peace, when we got that despair or the overtiredness, you know, you can't get it through. It doesn't reach you. Mm. So yes, Every happy person has peace in common, which I think is a phenomenon, and it really makes me want to make peace one of my biggest priorities in
Indeed.
Life.
Well, Scripture says, let peace rule and reign in your hearts, right?
Yes.
And life in the Spirit is life and peace. So I want you to say a word. Let's take these one by one. Peace with God.
Okay.
Talk to the person who's listening who's like, I'm a believer, but I actually don't know that I have peace with God. What do they do?
Okay, when it comes to peace with God, one of the things that I can only go my own personal reaction to this one. The only reason that I would not have peace with God, I believe he's forgiven my sins. I believe that he's washed me clean. But most people walk feeling that they're a little bit of a disappointment to God. Like, I'm not quite as amazing as Susie Larson. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not quite as I don't do my quiet time enough, I don't pray enough, I don't believe enough. And so all of these not enough beliefs in our heart cause us to feel like a disappointment. Okay, so this is the concept. If I feel like I'm a disappointment to you, Susie, I will not want to go out for lunch with you. Am I right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you felt like you're a disappointment to me, you would not want to go out for lunch with me. However, because I literally feel like I'm the opposite of a disappointment to you, I would do anything to go out for lunch with you, because everything about our relationship flows, and there's the speed of trust is in our relationship. And so that's how it is with God. And I'm telling you, listener, put a stop to feeling like you're a disappointment to God. You know what? Maybe you are making wrong choices that are causing consequences in your life. You have an invitation to draw a line in the sand right this minute. And maybe it's your worst day, but just let Jesus love you on your worst day. He's not far away from you. He's right there. And you are not a disappointment. You know, my kids can screw up, mess up, and everything else, but when they want me, I am there, and I'm ready to go to move on to great places in our relationship. So peace with God, to me, is when I know that I'm not a disappointment, because then I won't make it my discipline to hang out with God. I will make it my very joy every day to hang out with him 24/7, because he downloads wisdom. I mean, he is the ultimate dad, all of these things. So this is just an invitation that you get to have peace with God not because of your performance, but because of your choice to invite him in and then start walking in the incredible friendship that you have with him.
You know, I often say on the show, I want you to picture a smile that goes all the way up to his eyes, because when you look his way, he's so glad to see you. And if you could picture that, you would be more drawn to spend time with him. So, Audrey, we have about 2 minutes before our hard break at the bottom of the hour. And we may have to carry this one to the other side, because I feel like it's so huge and it's a stumbling block for many. Peace with ourselves. I want you to talk to the person who holds themselves in contempt for their mistakes and their sins.
And that was me, living in regret, living with remorse. I should never have done that. I was shoulding on myself all the time. And I have something that I like to call a picture of myself as Judge Audrey. I don't know if there's a Judge Susie in your life, but sometimes I wake up and Judge Audrey is pointing her finger, waiting for me to wake up.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't do this enough. You don't do that enough. You're too missed to that. I'm telling you, we need to fire the judge, get the judge out of our life. Because really the enemy can just accuse and lie. And so that is just a picture of what the enemy can do in our thoughts. And then we need to start to receive who God says about us and meditating on that. And when we exalt stuff and make it bigger, it becomes part of us. And so to have peace with myself, number one, I fire the judge. And number two, I just start declaring, decreeing, and being full of thoughts of how God feels about me. And then I start acting like it. Then I just start naturally wanting righteousness as it should be. All of a sudden, I'm choosing wisdom and integrity. And that's peace with myself.
You know, as you're talking, Audrey, I'm thinking of one of my favorite go-tos from Ephesians. It says, to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God. And so often we do it backwards, where we think, I'm going to try to jump high enough. I'm going to try to do it all so that I can better know his love. But it's really to get with God and comprehend his love is to be able to, as you say, walk it out in righteousness state, because then it's life flowing through you, you know?
Exactly.
Beautiful. Beautiful concept. Talking to Audrey Meisner. Title of her book is Wake Up Smiling. So we've talked about peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others. That's another one that really can get in the way of your overall peace. And when you want to let peace rule in your reign in your heart, you want to tackle these things and make sure you're walking in a place of peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others, and peace with our season of life. We'll talk more about that with Audrey Meisner when we return. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my dear friend Audrey Meisner. I love this woman. She's a TV host, author, speaker. She's written a new book titled Wake Up Smiling, 40 Devotions for a Hope-Filled Life. And I want to tell you, I mentioned this at the outset, when you read a title like Wake Up Smiling, you might be tempted to think it's maybe kind of surfacey, fluffy, just smile your way through, and it's not that. This is a rich, deep, devotional, hard-fought wisdom through the valleys of life. Audrey is wise and winsome, and I want you to hear what she has to say. In fact, if you just tuned in, this is one I want you to go back and catch the podcast after the fact. Really grateful to Broad Street for giving us 5 copies of her great book. So if you want in on the drawing, you can just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. And so we've been talking about, because one of the things you'd said before the break was that a common denominator in happy people is not that they're rich or successful or skinny. It is that they have peace, peace with God, peace with themselves. Let's talk about this aspect too, peace with others. This is an interesting one. And Audrey, when you think of it, scripture says, be at peace with others as far as it concerns you. And we can sometimes lose peace beyond what concerns us, beyond what we're even able to manage, you know?
Isn't that true? And so one of the most common mistakes people make when trying to be happy is that they base their happiness on externals. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be happy when this person starts treating me right, or I'm going to be happy when my husband starts doing this, or my kids start behaving, or you know what I'm saying? We get this thing that all our happiness is based on circumstances and what that's the externals. And what happens then is that we get into a cycle. And when you see a cycle, you see something going around and around. And the cycle is the attempt to control circumstances and outcomes. You know, we think if we do this, then we can control the outcome and we can control other people. And you know what? That will never work. And in fact, that was sort of what helped me to start this entire 40-day adventure to wake up smiling, is because we can transform what is possible, and that's our own heart. And so when it comes to having peace with others, I love the scripture in Colossians 3 where it just says, make allowance for other people's faults. Because just as God has so richly and freely forgiven me, I'm called to forgive others. And so the word mercy, this is the word I really want to think about, was the word mercy really is undeserved favor, forgiveness, favor, however you want to put it. But blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. When you live a mercy-filled life, and, you know, I take it a little further. I'm such a visual person. I put myself under a waterfall. Like, why not make mercy a waterfall, right?
Amen.
And so I make it just that. It's like the perfect temperature waterfall. Like, if it's hot, then this waterfall is just a little bit cool but not too cold, and I'm just going to go under this waterfall of mercy and enjoy God's cleansing. And to every nook and cranny of every bit of bitterness and resentment, it's just going to melt it away, and I'm going to receive this amazing mercy from our merciful God. And then I am saturated with it so that I easily and quickly am able to give mercy to others who have offended me. I mean, let's just call it straight. There's things that have been done to you that should not have been done. There are words that have been spoken against you and to you that never should have been said. That is just being a human being. However, as people of mercy, we're going to be saturated in it, and we're going to just be free to give it to others. So that's how I do peace with others, because we all get opportunities to forgive, to make allowance for other people's faults, but we also get access to this waterfall of mercy. So I'm just going to go ahead and go there.
Boy, that's so good. And maybe this falls under the peace with God and peace with ourselves, but you said in the beginning of the show when you were talking about your story, here you're a public person and you have an affair, you have this precious baby out of that affair, and you say, you know, it's so noticeable with three blonde kids and a biracial baby when you'd go out in public and you'd get these judgmental stares. And yet you had a breakthrough with God where suddenly you were willing to forgive yourself because God had forgiven you. Your story reminds me of the woman at the well, because there was points where she just avoided the townspeople because she didn't want their judgment. But then there was a point where she could run back to them and say, come meet a man. Like, they didn't have the handle on her anymore. And people don't have that over you, Audrey. You walk in such freedom.
No.
That to me is...
There's no shame attached to that. Jesus died for my sin and my shame. Wow.
Amazing.
Because I always, as I said before, see that shame as a garment. And when he came to me, Susie, he said, I'm going to wear that garment for you that called me a bad name. Like, who does that?
Right.
Who would wear your garment for you? That's our Jesus. And she who's been forgiven much loves
much.
If you want to ask me how in love I am with Jesus, you know, just let me tell you the story of what he did for me.
Wow. You know, I bring that up just because I'm thinking somebody tuned in who maybe didn't hear the open of your story, who feels like, yes, peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others. Easy to say, hard to do, hard to smile when you feel like you're under everybody else's thumb. But you're saying you don't have to be. They don't get to decide because Jesus already has, right?
Exactly. Well said, my love. Yes.
Okay, then let's talk about this one. Peace with our season of life, because that can be one of the joy stealers if you maybe frame your current season the wrong way.
Well, we live in a world with sadness and sorrow and trauma and terror. It's all around us. And, you know, many times it's touching us personally. There's no doubt there's someone listening right now who is in one of those seasons. And if we say wake up smiling to them, they're like, no. But you see, the invitation to have our journey led by the Spirit, even on our worst day, that's when we need his perspective more than others, more than any other time. And you know what? The great thing about seasons is that they do have an ending. You know, seasons come and seasons go. And sometimes we just have to work our way. And it's in those seasons of growth in those valleys is where all the growing takes place. I just know that if I can recognize my season and identify it instead of just trying to avoid it, then I can invite him in and tell him exactly what I need in that moment. And he is so willing to love me right there in that season.
Mm, boy, that's so good. So as you said before the break, that the common denominator among happy people is peace. And so you further say in the book on one of the daily readings is, if you've been robbed of peace, it's time to take inventory to ask the Father to forgive and cleanse you for your part in opening the door to the enemy's lies. But then you suggest we make these declarations over our lives. I am not a disappointment to God. I am forgiven and free from bitterness towards others. I have no reason to fear the future. I forgive myself for past mistakes. Audrey, I wanted you to just speak to how important faith declarations are, because I think some people, maybe this is out of the box for them, but for me, I don't think anything allowed me to get land back like faith declarations, so my own ears would hear my mouth say what was true.
Yes. Oh, you're just going to tap into the most passionate button I've got, because I'm telling you, I need to be aligned to heaven. There are two realities, and I talk a lot about this a lot in the book. We choose whether we want to live on heaven or on earth. That is our choice every day. We live in two parallel, coinciding realities, and as we decree, which is law-given decrees of what God did because of the death, the resurrection, well, the life and a resurrection and the ascension of what Jesus did, because of that sacrifice, I really have been raised to a new life with Christ. So Colossians 3 has been amazing to me because it taught me how to make declarations with my mouth. And it taught me to memorize not only declarations, but making decrees and memorizing them so that they're part of my heart as I'm falling asleep at night, so that when I wake up in the morning, they're the first thoughts that come through my head. I need to hear myself talk about God's love for me, that my future is bright, and that the place of peace is inside of me because Jesus is my Prince of Peace. And the joy of the Lord is my strength, and the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I have everything that I need. I could go on and on and on, but I'm just saying that I am in agreement that we don't have to live by default. And if you do, you will just let your... Can I just go into another direction? Because this will really help me as far as just bringing some clarity of a visual that I have.
Yes.
Okay, so I have to get visual for this to become real to me, right? And so I figured out that every day I get to live either spirit me or earth me. So spirit Audrey is either driving the car or not. And so I've just really, and one of the whole parts of this book is called Invisible Me, because that's the spirit me. That's the Holy Spirit inside of me, Christ in me, living wisdom, surrendered, so heavenly minded, thinking God's thoughts, perfect at peace, secure in my identity. That's Holy Spirit Audrey. And I know there's Holy Spirit Susie there too, right? So with our Holy Spirit Susie and Holy Spirit Audrey, I want Holy Spirit Audrey surrendered to the Holy Spirit and driving my car. So all through life, all through my day, I mean, so today is this day, I want Spirit Audrey to drive the car. Well, that's all good and said and great idea. But what happens when, you know, you feel funky, you feel like something happened, there's circumstances, even just a thought comes to your head. Well, then all of a sudden, thought and your mind started driving the car. So I thought, oh my gosh, mind took over, my thoughts took over, and it started taking me down roads of fear. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? And all of a sudden I'm thinking, going down this road, and I go, oh yeah, thoughts, you are not allowed to drive the car. Go ahead and get in the back seat. So then I'm going through my day, and it's back to Spirit Audrey. Is this going to lead this car with wisdom? And then emotions want to definitely come in and drive the car. And again, I just call it for what it is. I thank God for my emotions because he gave us emotions to experience life, but yet they can't drive my car, Susie, or I can get in trouble. They need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And then my will, I can always visualize like my will, like in the backseat with this grin on his face, like my will is super strong. So I can, like, will wants to take over and drive the car and do things that God never even asked me to do. You know, like I'm so over-motivated. So I have to say, you know, will, just, you know, we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Body, and it's all his appetites, you're surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So part of my strategy for waking up smiling is to say Holy Spirit is in charge today. Holy Spirit is surrendered, and living inside of me. And, you know, I'm thankful for will, emotions, and thoughts. And then there's ego, and ego is actually in the trunk, Susie. I said ego, yes. You in the trunk.
Come on.
Because that's when selfishness comes over and wants to drive my life to really scary places and compare myself with others. Oh, my gosh, you want to talk about trouble. I want my ego to be starved and in the trunk, and I want Holy Spirit Audrey to be alive and well and fed with the decrees, the declarations, and that's where I wanted to come full circle to answer your question. The decrees and declarations are the foremost on my mind and the first thing out of my mouth. I mean, I say things like, arise, thoughts of God's goodness. Arise, words of adoration. Come in agreement with heaven. This is your day that God has made. Okay, I'm really quite excited.
I'm excited with you. I absolutely love it. I'm thinking somebody's driving right now and they've got their hands off the wheel, in the air, in agreement. I love it. Talking to Audrey Meisner. We've got 5 copies of her beautiful book. I love this book. I endorsed it. I loved it so much. It's called Wake Up Smiling, 40 Devotions for a Hope-Filled Life. Email me if you'd like in on the drawing. I've seen a bunch of emails come in. A good handful don't have mailing addresses. So try again, would you? Susie, it's Susie at myfaithradio.com. And remember your mailing address. And we will be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my very precious friend, Audrey Meisner. I love this woman, and you maybe have heard her on the show before, and she's also a TV host, author, speaker, and a dear woman of God. Her book is titled Wake Up Smiling, 40 Devotions for a Hope-Filled Life. And if you just hopped in the car, you've missed an amazing conversation. This is one I want you to go back and catch from the beginning. Just gripping, amazing, and encouraging conversation. So, Audrey, you wrote about the importance of a childlike heart and how it directly connects to happiness and thus smiling. And you identify 3 things we can learn from children. Children are innocent. I love this one. They gladly open presents, and they don't carry burdens. So speak to this childlike heart and what we can learn from them.
What an invitation. You know, the thing is that God, we really are his children, and sometimes I think we miss the benefits. Yeah. I believe that when we can wake up smiling just for the very simple fact that we are waking up to presents. Literally, we are opening up our eyes, the first moments of consciousness in our day. There are presents in front of us that our Father has graciously given to us, and we can walk right by them and go to the bathroom and brush our teeth and miss out on this amazing gift that God wants to give us, you know, joy unspeakable. He wants us to open the present. He wants to give us peace in our minds. He wants to give us the gift of innocence. He wants to give us, and then the gift of, for me, one of the greatest gifts he gives me, Susie, is just the gift of the pathway of life being so clear, like a direction. He knows one of my favorite presents is just having a clear path in front of me. I'm happy to be obedient to him, but Lord, can you just make it clear? Because I just want to have a clear pathway of direction. And he goes, Audrey, I would love to give you that present. And I go, thank you, Jesus, and I open that gift, and I choose to trust that as I walk through my day, he's leading me. I clearly hear his voice beside me, and he gave me a companion yesterday called Bountiful Provision. Can you even imagine? I have a companion walking with me called Bountiful Provision, and I pray over my children to have companions of instruction and counsel. So when I pray for my kids, I'm seeing them walking around. One's in New York, one's in Toronto. They're walking around with instruction and counsel on either side of them, and they don't even know it. Like, wow. I forgot your question.
No. Are you kidding me? It's no opening presents. This is someone needed to hear this today. I'm telling you, I think many need to hear it today. Let's just stick with the whole presents thing, because you're right. We get up, we walk right past it, and you think about how often the first words out of our mouth are grumbles, but he sends new mercies to our door before we've even had a chance to need them. I mean, he's already thinking ahead for us. Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible. And goodness and mercy are following us all day. And sometimes we need to just stop and let them overtake us. Like if goodness and mercy are following us, just stop and let them pounce on you. Like let, you know, goodness and mercy just be part of your life. And this might sound all Pollyanna and full of joy, but no matter what personality you are or what your profession it is, I'm telling you, everyone can have the fuel of joy, because joy really is fuel, and it will look different on different personalities. I would never expect anyone to share the same enthusiasm as I do, possibly, about this, but that doesn't mean that you're not completely fueled up with joy and ready for hope for your day.
Well, just got an email from a listener who just has chronic illness and just fights constantly with feeling guilty because they struggle in their health, having a hard time finding peace, having a hard time seeing potential. And this dear listener represents so many people that they're like, I want to get there. I'm so buried beneath the rubble of my current life. How do I get there?
I am so glad you asked. Listen, there is something called an invisible hope line. I received this visual because I was desperate. And I remember I was hiking, and one of my children, and it might be your health, it might be one of your children, whatever it is, those things that are closest to you, you know, the things that can really get us into despair. And my heart just goes out to this person who emailed you, because it's so real. You know, it's it's that bog down every day you're fighting to get through your day. And so that's where I was living at this particular season of my life. It was just a little, you know, maybe a year or two ago. And what happened was I was praying, and that's what we do. We get desperate, and it turns into almost begging, God, please, you know, knock some sense into my kid. You know, I don't know if I'm the only mom that's ever prayed that. Probably not. But anyway, I'm just praying for my kid. And all of a sudden, the Lord, again, just gives me this visual. He goes, Audrey, there is a hope line, and you have chosen to live below the hope line because that's where your kid is, and you want to hang out with them there because you love them so much that you want to hang out where that is, that where the struggle is. But you're not doing it any good by living down there. You have to choose to live above this hope line, because this is where heaven is earth on. Heaven is, even though you're having to live an earthly life with pain and circumstances, you can live this parallel place of a realm changer where you can be in hope. And he showed me. I said, well, how do I do it? Sounds like a great idea, but how do I get there? And he goes, you've got to throw off the weights and make yourself light. You are just so heavy with the concerns of life, with the pain that you're in. And it's not saying it's not real, but we have to cast that care upon him and cast all the offenses, any unmet expectations, any unanswered prayer. What if I've been praying for my health for 10 years and I'm the one that's not getting healed? You know, those are serious disappointments. But we, if we want to and choose to live above the hope line, we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to take this disappointment and I'm going to send it away. I'm going to take, you just imagine all these weights on you, right? I'm going to take this weight of this guilt that I've been carrying, and I'm actually going to send it away. I'm going to take the weight of this addiction, maybe the secrets I've been carrying, and I'm going to send them away. I'm going to take this habitual sin, this sin that I just can't seem to stop. I'm going to take this sin, I'm going to send it away, and it's going to start lighting me up. I'm going to get lighter and lighter and lighter till I am living above the hope line. And I'm going to humble myself so that at this right time, he's going to lift me up and take me to that place of honor. And I'm going to give my cares and my worries to God, because he actually cares about me. So I'm telling you, this is our invitation. Okay, by the way, story to complete, I just changed in a moment. Guess what? Did my daughter start behaving? No, because I was on a hike. You know what I mean? And so the circumstances did not change, but everything about me changed. He says, you have to live above this hope line. Now, you can reach your hand down if someone wants to reach up and, you know, pull them up. But honestly, it's their choice. But you're going to do better off for everything about your life if you live above this hope line and choose hope every single day. And it wasn't a matter of about a month or so, and everything turned around for my daughter. She started calling me and she's saying, well, you must be very worried about me. And I'd say, you know what? I'm kind of not. And he would, like, freak her out. She's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, you know what? I know who you are, girl. You are a Holy Spirit girl. Jesus is in you. Why would I worry? Like, at just the right time, Jesus is going to just, he's, you're fine. Seriously, girl, you're fine. She was just like, what is going on? And, but, you know, a shift takes place. This is what I want to get at. There's a spiritual atmosphere, and a shift takes place when we choose hope and we choose to get rid of the weights that drag us down. Sure, they're real. I don't minimize them. In fact, I validate them, but I'm not going to give them more than what they deserve. I am going to choose to live above the hope line.
Amen. In fact, you write this in your day 16 entry, which is titled Aligned with Heaven and Led by the Spirit. You say, when I'm spiritually aligned, I'm positioned to receive God's very best. Now, I love that you address it that way, Audrey, because this is where we get so buried. We think all we need is a zap.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing I've learned from this last year's health struggle for me, zapping wouldn't do anything for us. It wouldn't even be good for us. I mean, there's times where you have a sudden miracle phenomenon, but for the most part, lots of us have tweaks we need to make as far as the story we tell ourselves, the way we carry the assigned assignment God has given us. And these things all matter. So if he just zapped us in a moment, we'd still have old practices that need to be renewed.
Exactly. Thought patterns. All of those things.
Yeah, so good. Well, we've just got a moment here before it's time to pray. And another person emailed just saying, I don't feel God's love. How do I feel his love? Now, what I've heard you say, if I look back over this last hour, is making these faith declarations that are true, even if they don't feel true, but also taking inventory and getting right with God if there's things that are out of whack, picturing that the Father's pleasure over you. Is there anything else that you would add to that?
Yeah, and just again, reminder that Holy Spirit, you is driving the car, so your emotions are telling you that you're a disappointment, and you're, you know, you, and so you're not a disappointment. But you know what? The best thing for experiencing God is just to get so super honest with him and tell him that. Just say, you know what, God? I am so done with not feeling you and not experiencing you and not having you real. I'm just willing. I'm willing to do anything it takes to be vulnerable with you. I'm ready for this adventure. I'm ready to be so honest with you and even tell you where I've been disappointed in you. You see, all of those things, like tell him everything, bare your heart. And really, he is in the car with you. Like, he is your best friend. Stop treating, just because he's invisible, we don't consider him real. He's real, and he's right there. He might be invisible, but if you want to experience him, just talk to him and tell him what you long for. Tell him what you need. And he knows your name, and he will answer your cry.
Wow, beautiful. Audrey, we've got about 1 minute here, wondering if you would pray for that person right now.
Yes, yes. Lord Jesus, it is right there, your presence. And I pray right now that that person that's listening will know that they are your great pursuit, that they are your great pleasure, that you listen with longing, waiting for them to call on your name, and you are so close to them in that moment. I pray for a divine moment in your presence that begins a journey that's real, where there's nothing fake about it, but they will feel free, that they will reach out and receive your forgiveness, receive your mercy, receive your goodness, and start opening those presents that are right there. Lord, let us be childlike so that we can open the presents that are right in front of us.
Jesus'
Amen.
Name. I love you, dear friend. Thank you for spending time with us today.
I love you. And if anyone wants the book, they can go to Bob and Audrey. Bob is my husband, and I'm Audrey. So
okay.
BobandAudrey.com.
BobandAudrey.com. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website, MyFaithRadio.com. We'll meet you back here next time.